on the committee on social development. Good morning to the very important support of our own people, not of the committee. The people that work around the clock, the people that work behind the bars to ensure that there is some improvement in the lives of the poor. When I greet you this morning, I also would want to share with you what I heard in Bumbuli. I'm not saying you were doing well, but this is the straight singing that a poor woman said. What he, with Department of Social Development, in your own end is the mafia. It is a hamba and the mafia. Ibone khona ithwale ncane lisiyehla iyalibekelela ukuze likhule. Loku she was saying this, she went on and on, but it was a critical time when we were not going to be happy as members because of the arrangement and of the center itself. So instead of us having to focus on the work that was not excellent, but we had to focus on the impact of the poor who say this is an eagle that flies high and has got a sharp eye to see down the valleys and see a small bird that has been born and seeks to look after it. How I wish when we engage this morning we start to instill and make you internalize what that woman said. This morning we have got a lot of work to do. Here are the items, honorable members, but I think the items themselves indicate that we must be honest for ourselves. We must be able to give a report. So if there is anything wrong, let's know about it so that we can always, please never claim easy victories. Rather ensure that you bring along your mistakes and then your good work. We will be in a position there to work with you for the improvement of that Molanyana bed women's soul. So I will allow, having said those opening remarks, without forgetting that the ongoing support of this portfolio committee made mainly of women. I'm saying this because I thought most of you might have gone on the oversight, but of course duty was calling. Some of us would be on the oversight, but some say, let me not miss this moment. So we are all of us here to engage Secretary on this work. Can you please do your house rules in terms of whether we are ready to start, in terms of our numbers, and also any other important announcement that will guide us towards the best work this morning. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Chairperson. Chairperson, currently we are not a quorum, but that doesn't stop us to continue to receive a briefing. It's only when we want to make adoption of the minutes and other resolutions. And I believe one member is still on his way, Mr. Malilo. Chairperson, I have a few apologies that I have received, the written one. One is from the Deputy Minister, who indicated that she was with us today due to a crisis that she's battling to at the center for disabled in disabled children in KZN. One is from Honorable Karen Yosa. She is attending to a family crisis at home. Her mother is in hospital. Another one is from Honorable Kana Merve. She is having a political commitment in Johannesburg, so she is not with us today. Another one is from Honorable Madropa. She also said in the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, they were on oversight visit, as well as Honorable Toledo. She also went with the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture to about that visit. And Honorable Sonji, she went for an appointment. So those are the appointments. Thank you. I think the committee has agreed with all the apologies. So I would then allow the department to do their work. But I don't understand the FGDG. You seem to be sitting too far. Who is going to report? Can you really report from behind?
The reporting team is this side, another chapter.
Or is it because of whatever?
Yes.
Or thank you very much. Yes, I must always be. Thank you very much. You can then work where your workstation is. I will also find that this is not very conducive to an environment that will make us work harder. But you always endorse that. Please be on the floor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues, good morning. We have prepared the fourth quarter performance report as per invitation by the committee. So in terms of our presentation, we will do an analysis on the actual performance of the department and also then look into the financials. That will also show how we have done the expenditure in the last quarter of 2016-2017 financial year. I will hand over to my colleague that will do a presentation, have Mr. Mutendezi as well as the Chief Financial Officer. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Today we're going to provide the analysis of our performance in the last quarter for 2016-17 and also take you through the program and program expenditure for the year and the quarter. Chairperson, with your permission, the program purpose, I'd like to speak that. It's in order with the members. We'll go into the expenditure. At this point in time, we will call it preliminary expenditure for 16-17. Since we've spent 99.6% of our total budget, or 147.3 billion of the allocated budget. In terms of the expenditure per program, program one, we spent 349.7 million or 99.89% of the budget. Program two, social assistance, 138.9 billion or 99.58%. Program three, social security policy administration, we spent 6.9 billion or 100% of the budget. Program four, welfare services policy development and implementation support, 713 million or 99.24%. And then social policy and integrated service delivery, 383 million or 99.65%. Overall, 147.3 billion spent or 99.6% total budget. In terms of the economic classification, compensation, we spend 99.96% of our budget of 454 million. Goods and services, 99.94% or 342.9 million. And then transfers and subsidies, 99.6% or 146.5 billion. Capital assets, 7.1 million, 68.83%. Just overall reasons for understanding in program three, the social assistance.
I think there is a little bit of a problem in the first place. Our technology for slides is not good at all, but at the same time, I fail to understand our strategy. How
are we starting with finances?
No, we give you the finance and we'll go into the program performance. We just try to link it so that that's how we...
I think it's vice versa. Because we must know the program. And then once you know the program, you go to finances. Until some, are we normally doing it that way? And we were not even warned. That's why we were taking it on. Because we would start with program. Because we are supposed to know the program, and then immediately we know what we have budgeted for, what we are doing, we can relate. I think normally we always work on finances at the after. That's why I couldn't understand it till then, and I thought he has been supposed to
Thank you.
It's important that we look into this document and we know which stage where we start. You know, you've got your presentation outline. You've got your report.
That is a presentation outline, chapter 10. That is a slide number 2, where we indicate our purpose, the priority, the program purpose, overall performance and expenditure, as well as program performance. Then we'll go to slide number 3 on the purpose of our presentation. And then we will just go and follow the presentation, and we'll try to also indicate the slide number, chapter 10.
This is very important, acting teaching. It is important because we are doing this in order to be in line with the NDP and possibly leading to the budget review, which is going to be squarely on our shoulders. So if we are not sure whether the purposes are such that we know that the weaknesses that will not lead to reaching a really arrangement in meeting the NDP demand. And now when you report to us, it's not a routine. It's something that must give us the fact that we are actually in line in achieving NDP processes for 2013 when we are at this age. And then secondly, the issue of how are we supposed to be responding to what the president is talking about. President is talking about budget reprioritization in order to meet the NDP. So that's the reason why we are saying, are your priorities indeed in line with the NDP plus priorities? Are the strategic priorities in your priority as well in line with the NDP? And therefore, the programs that will seek to achieve that particular goal and the overall expenditure, so that we can check the expenditure if it's addressing the priorities that are set. Even before we talk about I want to put you in line. Thank you very much. Let's go on then.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On slide 5, on slide 4, with regard to the strategic priorities, these are the strategic priorities that are in line with chapter 11 of the NDP, which is also in line with outcome 13 of the government outcome. So the priorities that are listed there in page in slide number 4 cover issues that are in line with our MPSF and the NDP. Issues around child and youth care services, social welfare reform. We know that currently we are reviewing the white paper on social welfare, and there's quite a number of welfare-related matters that are under review, aligning with the NDP. And then deepening social assistance and extending the scope of social security, that is part of NDP priority as well. Increased access to early childhood development, that is also a priority in terms of MPSF, which is sub-outcome 2 of outcome 13. Strengthening community development intervention is also part of outcome 13, sub-outcome 3. And then combating substance abuse and gender-based violence is also part of the NDP in terms of the outcome. It falls under outcome 4 of the government, outcome 3 of the government priorities. Increase in household food and nutrition security. This one, it falls under even the sustainable development goals, goal 1 and goal 2 in terms of stopping hunger, as well as sub-outcome 3 of outcome 13. Then the protection and promotion of the rights of older persons is part of our focus as a priority, as well as establishment of the social protection system to strengthen coordination, integration, planning, and M&E services. I'm just covering these strategic priorities, just to highlight how we are aligning with the NDP. For example, the last one in terms of strengthening the social protection system, what we have learned is that within the social sector, even in the department, we have systems that do not talk to each other. So our goal here, we're trying to strengthen them. One example, chapter 3, is the fact that you find that we have our children that are in receipt of the child support grant. But upon completion of matric, they had to apply again and be mean tested for NSFAS. So it's part of the systems where we're trying to align to say, if you are in receipt of the child support grant, why do you have to be mean tested for NSFAS when you enter to the tertiary institution? So those are the highlights. I want to hand over to my colleague, Chairperson, so that then the presentation flows in terms of how we have structured it.
So, I can allow you to do so, but can I then say they are still going to elaborate on what you have already said?
Yes.
That is going to be a good one. He's going to go back on expanding, because when you say this is your strategic objective, we should know what are you doing about it. If you say you combat substance abuse, we have been out on oversight and we have had experience, and we want to apply what we got in our experience into what you say you have, because this one talks to how we have been spending the expenditure, isn't it? In relation to what you have seen as a strategic objective. And in trying to meet it, you then develop the program. Especially when you talk about hunger and other things. We indeed want to engage, even before we talk about funds, because I do, as I said, do not believe practical implementation is actually what we expect. We will actually talk because this issue of cooked food and other things, I think, Tina, we were left a little bit behind. Because if you go to Mbumbulu and you have people having homes, having got countdown to make fire and cook whatever, and you begin to use meals on wheels, it is a problem. So we want to relate the actual implementation in order to achieve your strategic objective. And you tell me indeed, can you really, really have big trucks to supply food instead of allowing our people to lift themselves out of poverty? And how sustainable this matter is going to be? Honorable members, I am not really taking your time, but I'm trying to ensure that our oversight is not about what the department is telling us. It's about what we see outside there. You can see now, it's like Christmas on every day when this grant comes. Taxi men and their parties, and the town is in buzz for 3 days. Thereafter, there's lull. Until this thing, I am honest to say, my colleagues, honorable members, the increase in numbers that we feed continues to increase. The food prices, seeing this buzz is increasing, it's even increased on the days. The 3 days that payment is going to place, they increase the prices. And you are saying to us, even compensation of employees have been cut because there's a shrink in the fiscal of the country. How are we going to cope? That's where it becomes a strategic objective, and we need to dwell on that. We can see the numbers, and most of the members, they can really calculate more than I can do. I know they're going to deal with rents and cents, but for me, the content is very important, and Taban must do that exactly to tell us, because you must also say to us, as we implement, what flaws do we identify? You as implementers,
And I'm happy to call to Ubaba. Ubaba, the president of the IFP, Mangosu. Watching it in Milan. Our policies of Mr. President Mandela are very good, but we can only identify flaws when we implement. And please, Mr. President Mandela, allow us to go back and close the flaws. We want to say you to say this arrangement is perfect. We're doing very good. Can you see this and this? So can we go back to that? And so, because I can see you giving it to Taban, so and I expected it to be done by the actual acting DG, because you're leading this king, you're leading this expedition of ensuring that our people get the best of what we have given them, and then you can give to your staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In fact, Chair, I can do the whole presentation. That was our home arrangement that he can present. Honorable.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues. The twofold purposes of this presentation. One is to provide the summary. That is slide number 3, where the chair has discussed in terms of the purpose. Yeah, one is to provide the summary of how social development in respect to how we implement the priorities of the minister and those of the sector, which, as the acting DG has indicated, takes cue from the MDP, and these are reflected in our annual performance plan. So we're here presenting some of the performance as required by the portfolio committee in terms of their invitation for us to present our performance receipts for the fourth quarter, which the quarter is January to March, which ended in the last end of the financial year for 2016-2017. And also, what my colleague, Mr. Appel, the Chief Financial Officer, will present is how there is expenditure in terms of overall as well as per program we have spent those monies. The ATNDG has already taken through some of the strategic priorities, and I must indicate that as the country was celebrating the fifth birthday of the MDP, we have made sure that the department will remain in line with the MDP, and we articulated through the MTSF. And for the first part of the implementation of the MTP, which is 2014 to 2019, we have made sure that we identify our priorities, not as social development, but also as a social development sector that is working together with our provincial counterparts, as well as our agencies. We have set ourselves these 8 priorities. One is to expand our services, the care services to both children and youth, and we are doing that through the program. Secondly, we want to make sure that there's a reform in our social welfare sector and the services so that we're able to deliver better results. And I'm sure if you look at the sub-outcome number one of the outcome data, you can tell in terms of the progress, as the activity has indicated, including the white paper for social welfare, which has been reviewed. Thirdly, is for us as a department to deepen social assistance in terms of extending the scope of social security. Fourthly, is to increase access to early childhood services, to early childhood development services. And fifthly, to strengthen community development intervention and to combat substance and gender abuse as well. Another priority, increase household food and nutrition security, and we're doing this through a Food for All program, which we've been able to implement nationally. We've established community nutrition development centers, and we've got many other households, as we'll see in the detailed presentation of those people that we are able to reach through the Food for All program. We also have a priority for the protection and promotion of rights of older persons, as well as for people with disabilities. And finally, as the acting DG has indicated, is about establishing the social protection systems so that we are able, as a social development sector, to together with those that work with us in the government space, we are able to strengthen our coordination, integration, as well as planning with regard to the M&E services. Honorable Chairperson and members, the department has got five programs, as they are articulated in our annual performance plan. We've got a program one, which specifically look at administration. I think I recall that we've been here to this committee and presented in detail exactly who the admin is. The admin includes, amongst others, the office of both the minister and the deputy minister, the office of the DG, we've got corporate services, we've got strategy, we've got transformation, two different branches, we've got finance. These are some of the four branches that are included in program one. And its purpose is to provide leadership, management, as well as support services to the work that we do as a social development center. We've got program two, which focuses mainly on social security, which amongst that is to provide income and to provide income support to vulnerable groups. And this unit specifically deals with the policy relating to that provision of those money and support, of income support to vulnerable groups. Program three is about social security policy and administration, which provides social policy development and a fair administration to social assistance. Program four is one of our biggest branch, which is welfare service policy development and implementation. Through this branch, we are trying to create an open environment for the delivery of equitable development welfare services through the formulation of policies, norms and standards, best practices, and the provision of support to implementing agencies. The last program is Program 5, which also has more than one branch, which is community development as well as social police. This is a social police integrated service delivery. Its aim is to provide community development and promote evidence-based policy making in the department as well as within the social development sector. Honorable members, I'm skipping slide number 6, which is overall performance and the expenditure, which will be presented by the CFO as I indicated. Slide number 7, I'll skip also slide number 8, which is on finances. 9, 10, I'm skipping. And then I'll move straight to slide number 13, Honorable Chairperson and members. I'm on slide number 13. We've been here before, Honorable Chairperson, as you recall, and we presented the four quarters of how we performed. So in this slide, I'm trying to depict exactly how as a department we have been performing over the last four quarters as we have presented the last quarter. You will note that in the first quarter, the department had achieved only 66%. In quarter two, it was 80%, and there was a huge decline on the third quarter, which we presented the last time we were here. And I'm presenting here the performance of the fourth quarter, and I can share with you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that in the quarter that you're presenting, the department had attained 77% of its target for the fourth quarter, and it did not reach 12%, which were not achieved, and then 11% were those that were partially achieved. But what is notable here, Honorable Chairperson and members, is that it is only the last quarter in which the targets that were never achieved declined remarkably as compared to all other quarters, as they account only for 12%. The next slide, slide number 14, is a narrative of the previous slide. In terms of the graph that I presented, in terms of the performance, it does confirm exactly what I've already alluded to. In the slide, next slide, is slide number 15, Honorable Chairperson, what we wanted to do here is to present exactly, not only in percentages, but try to unpack the number of targets that we have set for ourselves, and then take you through exactly by program which one did not even perform. In the quarter four that we are presenting, Honorable Chairperson, were the total of 105 targets that we wanted to achieve. And you can break them down. Program one of that total had 17 of those targets, program two and three had 8 each, and program four had 38, and program five had about 34. And you can see that in the last column, in terms of the percentage, how each program had achieved. We've also included the breakdown in terms of the numbers. For example, with program one, of the 17 targets that they had, they only achieved 11. The number that they partially achieved were 2, and the number that we did not achieve at all was 4. Program 2 and 3, as you note, they had 8 targets in total, and all the 8 targets were achieved, so they did not have those that they neither partially nor did not achieve at all. Moving to program 4, of the 38 total number of targets that they had, they achieved 30, that is fully achieved, and they only partially achieved 4 and did not achieve 4. Program 5, they had a total of 34 targets, they achieved 25, did not partially, they partially achieved 5 and did not achieve fully 4. So this is the picture, the Honorable Chairperson and members, when we break down on slide 15 the actual number of targets as we have presented in terms of the presentations before. I'll now be moving in detail to each program in terms of taking through those actual targets that they achieved and looking at those that are included in the APP in particular. So I'll skip slide number 16, I'm skipping 17 and 18 on the finances. The CFO will present 19 also, which is admin, especially in terms of the and I'll move straight to slide number 20. Under program one, we will be sharing with you, as I said, these are just the summaries. I will share with you in terms of the programs that are within the program one, which is gender, communication, M&E in this instance. The quarterly target for gender was for them to facilitate integration of gender in various policies. And under this quarter, in this quarter under review, one of the policies that they wanted to make sure that gender issues are integrated is the sexual harassment policy. And this indeed was reviewed by end of the quarter. And another target for relating to M&E was to document and sign off on the indicators, so that we are able to have a common set of indicators that are aligned, that are aligned to the outcome-based framework, that is in line with the outcome setting as well, and this goal is also reflected there. So by end of the fourth quarter, a result-based M&E framework with indicators was developed and consulted with all the relevant stakeholders, and the indicators indeed have been incorporated also in our non-financial data as required. Moving to communication, our target was to...
Just a minute, can we check if that policy ever reached the platform? Because we can't oversight a policy that was developed in the department and approved probably by cabinet whoever, but the members of the portfolio committee have not seen it. Because I've been trying to find out from the secretary if we ever, because that's what we are oversighting now, we are saying you as advocate achieved that. So did we say yes to this achievement because we have seen the policy? I'm saying to assist the members.
Honorable Chair, the sexual harassment policy, it's an internal policy. It hasn't reached this level, but it has been presented to the internal structures within the department.
For those who are now, because your internal structures are not oversighting now. Those who are called upon to do the oversight have absolutely say it's an achievement. How do we know it's an achievement? Because we don't know about that. I'm trying to be honest to you. I'm honest to you that please take the community serious, because at the end of the day, you give them information so that when this information is available, they can see that this is actually being implemented. How do we know that you are implementing because we don't know what you are implementing. Can we get an answer from that? How did it come about? How did it come about that you produce we are the first call? Because if you have got a first draft, you say honorable members, this in order to be in line with the strategic objectives, this is what we are producing. And then you go to say you are consulting. And at the end of the day you come to us, Mama Vilagas, and say our internal structures agree. So do you think this is in order? So that when you come and say you have done that, we are able to say, yes, we know about that. It has been done properly. I think that's what oversight is about. It's not being given how much you spent, what have you done, but the how part of it is a major issue. And this is actually being demonstrated at implementation level. For example, let me give you an example. You came up with Vodafone issues, things that are being talked about mainly in the media, that of having to call a number when you are pregnant. But I actually asked a question. We spent so much, we didn't come to us. Secondly, your very diagram does not show any public participation. And people are not begging to be involved. It is their constitutional right. That if you are going to serve me, let our own participation be understood. Popular public participation. This goes to the issue that there are many policies that are of your own. Do we also own these policies, or you own the policies? This room that I'm being honest. And I'm really, really very, very honest to say to you, I'm referring to you because you actually this is the face of the office of the minister, to say, if that someone asked me, what is this policy? And that's why your alignment Chabang is also a problem. Because if you are in a rural area, what you do is you call the traditional leader because it's the nearest authority. You call the councillor, it's the nearest authority. But if you say you're going to call a social worker that lives 100 kilometers in town and we does not have a transport, and you say that call can come as close as 100 meters, how do you come from East London to where this person is at? Because that coordination and structural arrangement excludes those who are at the village level. Please, I think we need to understand what we oversight. What is it that we are all going to oversight on the gender issue? Because in that gender issue, it's your policy, we don't know this policy. Not unless you are going to say to Mr. Bang, we know this, honorable members, we gave you the policy. This is the policy. Not unless you go, if I've forgotten, apologies because of my age. If I've forgotten, if I've not, Mama Wilson, can I just get this question from honorable Mr. Bang about whether the policy we were presented or not, and then I allow you to interview.
Can I get a clarification?
It's all right, it's all right. Let me allow you.
Thank you. Chair, I need to understand something. This is not a parliamentary act. It's not a public policy. This is an administration section of DSC, and it is DSC bringing their internal sexual harassment policy in line with the norms and standards. So, it's not, this is what I'm trying to say. Am I correct or am I wrong? And if it is in this report, all we're interested in is, are there costs related to the review of this policy? But it's an internal policy of the Department of Social Development keeping their policies for their staff in line with the Sexual Harassment Act. So I'm not sure where the public participation comes in. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable Member, you might have interpreted totally wrong. My argument is, Honourable Wilson, here is the strategic objective to be oversighted by the Portfolio Committee. Once you have said it, you develop your own policy, isn't it? Internally, in order to implement the strategy, and you expect the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Wilson, to oversight. That was your own arrangement internally. But for us to know, I didn't say, Honourable Wilson, we wanted to participate in the policy. My question is, have they actually given us that this is debate and this is the implementation approach, so that we know what they are doing? This is a methodology issue. It's a methodology that this is the method we are going to use, and therefore we need to know the methodology in order for us to say you're sticking in it or you don't. Are you satisfied, Honourable Member? My answer
I am,
to you.
I'm happy with what you're saying, but then the department, unfortunately, is going to have to bring every single internal policy that has ever been created by the department to this meeting. Thank you.
And when you say bring, it's not that they come and say one, two, three. They say to us, this is the instrument. We are going to work with this one and this one and this one, so that our questions are strategic, direct what they themselves have said they are going to do. We've got serious work to do here to ensure, because Honourable Members, when things go wrong, it comes back to the Portfolio Committee did not interrogate issues. And we want to interrogate, and we are very serious. Taban.
Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Maybe to clarify that this was part of our annual performance plan. We had the sexual harassment policy in place, but what we planned to do in the financial year 16-17 was to review that sexual harassment policy. It's an internal policy. We've got quite a number of other internal policies, like a procurement policy that is aligned with other bigger legislation and so on. So we've never brought our internal policies to the committee like this one. It's on administration issues internally. The policy that will support the staff, how do you report the issues of sexual harassment and so on and so on. This is what we have set ourselves. And then in the last quarter, we were able to achieve this internally as a department. It's not a policy that has to be ensure that there is wide engagement of other the people outside social development at head office. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, can I give the honourable to report? Because for me, if you say you are going to cook, you actually say I'll acquire wood and I will have a pot and I will cook and I'll ask my little daughter to keep on replenishing when I go to the river. And when then, that's not presenting. It's a matter of a methodology approach, so that I am able to know. But this is a serious issue, because even issues of procurement, there must be an approach as to how these people are going to participate. Because if they don't, let's take the issue of SAPEC. Now, that the fact is, we ought to know how you are going to do this work. You can't say you have developed this, and when it complicates, it says the Portfolio Committee did not.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you. Many to the new chairperson to the department. I don't understand why this thing is here. It doesn't make any sense. You can't come here and report about one committee, maybe out of 20 committees that you are having. Maybe one can say how many committees are you having in the committee. And you will say maybe 20 or 26. So you cannot come and bring this one here. Because you were not the author of this, you don't know anything, you never participated on it. You are supposed to go to your forums in the department, whether your neighbor forums or other stakeholders that are there. And it depends on how long do you do your policy. Most departments they will do after 2 years, you know. But for us to come to bring it into a strategic session, how are we gonna do that to person when we consider, you know? And one will allow many sexual harassment in the department. You see now, we are managing your department. You are not doing the oversight. Maybe you are coming here with the police and tell us the whole of South Africa, these are sexual harassment cases when reported. These ones were not being taken care of. That's where we can participate. But on the department, you know, Chair, I think they must take this thing out. Because it seems now you are assisting them. Yeah, I so wish you had your corporate service manager. Maybe we'll assist us on this thing. Because these are issues of us. One day you will bring your assistant committee. For us to come and see how people come to work. Maybe share, that's why they think there's the traditional change, you know.
Well, the issue for me is, if it's about a principle, how you are going to manage me having been raped, then you have to say you will be taken to a Tutuzela Center, etc. Then it will be known by the department, and the oversight committee will not know that you were supposed to be taken to this. Then you come and complain and say, I was not taken to be as expected. How is the committee going to know that under normal circumstances, this is what we are going to do? But I allow this to go through and allow this document, which is probably we are going to, in the process of it. Because I think one other thing that Honorable Wilson didn't understand was this participation. When I say, if you look in, I think she was not present. If you look into this reporting thing when you are exaggerating, in it, it doesn't include any other structure other than administration. That's what I was raising when I'm saying, what about the public? If I am at a village, I'm threatened by phone, there is nothing that talks about the country. There's nothing that talks about a nearby traditional leader. It only talks about police, social worker, end of story. That's all I was raising. I was not talking about the participation of us in an internal structure. That's what I was talking about. So can you proceed? You can proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We are still under Program 1, now moving to two other units, which is internal audit as well as the IT. Under the audit, in terms of this performance, in terms of this quarter, the internal audit had the target to perform 7 internal audit reviews so that they are able to determine compliance with legislation and policies. And indeed, a total of 7 audit projects were completed in the period under review. Relating to the IT, the target was to tap the child protection register as well as alternative care. And indeed, under IT, those targets were fully met, as both the child protection register as well as the alternative care were tested. The final one under quarter 4 under IT was to test the National Integrated Social Development Integrated System, which is NISIS, and indeed it's being tested during the period under review. This is all then, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, under Program 1, which is slide number 21. I'm moving now to Program number 2.
Sorry, before you move on, talk to me about tested. What do you mean it was tested?
I think part of the initiative was to, in the Arts Office, it's about the integration of the system. And as part of the testing, is to take their compatibility so that they are integrated. And because most of them have just been single unit systems, the Child Protection Register sits on the other side, the system for alternative care sits on the other side. So, for example, if you get identifying variables such as ID numbers or whatever the common variable that you can have, is to test those vulnerabilities. Because some of them could be much more highly technical than my capacity to understand exactly. But in the testing, it involves because you want to move towards integrating some of these systems to make sure that you are able to follow these children in whatever system that they could be in.
So that was attempted, so you know which was.
Yes.
I think the testing refers to them having done what they have put together and see that it's trying to see if it's working by doing the sample proper. Thank you. Are you ready for
I am, but my question is, it says they were tested. I'm happy with the fact that they were tested, but it does not tell us whether they were successful or not.
Probably they were, because they said they continued with it. They didn't even. Okay, we ask that compliment to later too. But I think the principle I want to establish is that such work was put in place, and then you continued, which therefore it was positive. But we ask that later too.
Yes. Okay. I'm moving now to Program 2. You'll recall, Chairperson, when I presented the breakdown of the targets, both Program 2 and 3, although I'll go in detail, did achieve all their targets. On these quarters, they had 8, and they both achieved all of them. Moving to Program 2, which is social assistance, I will skip slide number 23, which will be presented by the CFO on the expenditure, as well as economic classification slide on slide number 24. And move straight to slide number 25, which then provides a detail in terms of the amount of grants that were paid per grant type. I'm sure, Honorable Chairperson, you will note that in all the grants, with a slight difference in war veterans, they seem to have overachieved in terms of where the target, for example, the war veteran grants to pay about 152 of the war veterans, but by the end of the fourth quarter, it was plus 10 of those that were targeted. But I'm sure when our colleagues and counterparts from SASA will provide more detail in terms of exactly what has been happening in terms of the grant. The same thing with the child support grant. We did not fully achieve our target. We targeted 12.3 plus million of children for the quarter four, but it was only 12,081,000 of children that were provided with grants by the end of the fourth quarter. I'm moving to slide number 26. You'll also notice that the grants, such as also the care dependence grant, did not fully meet in terms of the number of those that they targeted because of issues of retention. Also, the same challenge has happened with the foster care grant. These are just the three grants in which, in terms of the estimates and what is projected, we can't really cut those numbers as always projected. This is all about social security, but I did indicate that the targets were fully met in terms of the percentages as well as the breakdown that I provided. Last slide on under Program 2 is slide number 27, which is now presenting the granting aid, where we seem to have also fully met in terms of the target, as well as the social relief of distress. We had a target of 120,000, but it was 182,000 of grant applicants that were awarded with the social relief of distress under the project under review, which is quarter four. That is all about program two. I'm now moving ahead with program three, which is also about social security policy and administration. Slide number 28, I will skip. Slide number 29, I'll also skip on the finance and the expenditure as well as the economic classification, which the CFO will present in detail, which is slide 30. I'll also skip and move that straight to slide number 31. In terms of, there are three units here under program two is social security policy development. We also have the appeals unit, and we also have the inspectorate. So I'll start with the social security policy development. The target, one of the targets that they have, was to finalize the policy on the universalization of benefits for older persons, and this indeed was developed and finalized by end of the fourth quarter. The second target was for this to unit to complete a discussion paper on the universalization of the child support grant, and honorable chairperson and members, indeed by end of the fourth quarter, the universalization, the discussion paper on how to universalize the provision of the child support grant has been completed. The last target under social security policy development was to develop a technical report on the mandatory cover for retirement, disability and survivor benefits. Honorable chairperson and members, by end of the fourth quarter, a technical paper on mandatory cover for retirement, disability and survivor benefits was indeed developed. In terms of the appeals adjudication, honorable chairperson and members, the department targets to adjudicate 70% of appeals, and all this will be done within the 90 days of receipt of those appeals. And indeed, the department has received, this is the breakdown, 599 of the appeals, and of the 599, it was 416 that was this. This is above then the target of 30%, and this talks to about 86.1%. And this was done within the 90 days of receipt. Another quarter four target was to adjudicate 100% of all the appeals that are received from SASA, and we're just not receiving from SASA, we must receive from SASA with complete records, and this should be done within 90 days. And in the department, under quarter four, there were 412 appeals with complete records that were received from SASA, and all of them, that is 100% of them, are of the chairman and members, were able to be adjudicated within the stipulated period, which is 90 days since the geography. Inspectorate for social assistance, the last program within program three, the last unit within program three, one of the targets was to approve financial and compliance audit framework by end of the fourth quarter, and indeed this was approved by end of the fourth quarter. And also the unit had a target to draft a memorandum of understanding with at least two stakeholders that would be relevant, and by end of the fourth quarter the unit had completed the MOU with two departments, which is one, the Department of Home Affairs, as well as the South African Police Services, and those MOU are in place and have been developed. I'm now moving to program four, slide number 34, which I'll skip, which is website services, policy development and patient support. I'll skip the financials, which are in slide 35 and as well as 36. So I will be 37. I'll be moving straight on slide 38 now, under the chairperson and members, which details the target under program four.
Mm-hmm.
note that the police force in the desalination, we were still waiting and we even asked for a workshop in that regard. But we were never given that workshop. But now we are being told that it is completed. I don't know, a paper on universalization, all these matters that were outstanding and were supposed to be discussed in detail and presented before we understand, they are now said to be completed. Here is the very technical mandatory cover for all these things are the responsibility of the core mandate. But you seem to have gone ahead. I was just noting why I insisted on that continue.
I'm not opening before discussion.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm just raising why I had a concern. Because when the department finishes, ours is to make an oversight that says you have done what you wanted to do. And not necessarily what the portfolio committee as it as the portfolio committee represents the people. Can you say something? You were having your hand up.
That's why I'm acknowledging.
Thank you, ma'am. This is relevant to the discussion paper as well as the policy. We do know that a workshop was requested, and as far as I recall, a date was taken when it was first done. So that will most definitely, the discussion paper is finished, but the next steps will then be to now go into the consultation session, which is actually now set for 2028. And the same applies with the policy as well. Now that the policy has been drafted, the process of consultation will take place. I think at the previous portfolio committee, we were ready to actually make a presentation on the industrialization, but then unfortunately, I think due to time constraints, the whole policy wasn't presented. I wasn't at that meeting, but I know that that was part of a total of the branch's presentation. So we are most definitely not at a stage where we will publish those. We are in a consultation process, and we must definitely bring it back to this committee.
Okay. Can we proceed?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I did indicate that I have moved to the program 4 on welfare services, and I'm skipping the financials, including economic classification, which the CFO will present. I'm in now slide number 38, where I start presenting the individual targets. Starting with the white paper, our target for the annual target, and also the course I want to revise the white paper, and indeed the white paper for social welfare has been revised by the end of the quarter. Also want to develop a draft model for social service practitioners, and the draft model has been developed by end of the fourth quarter, and also want to facilitate the approval for the recruitment and the service strategy for social service professionals, so that is approved, and indeed this has been approved, also not at a higher level, but at the forum in which our heads of social development heads sit together with the DG as well as the DDG. So this is the forum in which it has this been presented and the approval has been achieved at that particular level. Regarding the other persons as well as the early childhood development, the targets we had for the other persons was for cabinet to approve the other persons amendment bill, and by end of the fourth quarter, Honorable Chairperson, the other persons amendment bill has been submitted to cabinet and they approved for gazetting. Another target was to finalize alignment of our program of action with the early childhood development policy, and by end of the fourth quarter this was finalized. And also another target was to finalize the ECD infrastructure plan, and the ECD infrastructure plan has been developed and the development was finalized by end of the fourth quarter. Moving to children's services, orphans as well as vulnerable children. For the fourth quarter, our target was to register 100% of all adoptions that you have received from the children's court with complete records. And I can provide the detail in terms of, as a department, we received a total of 364 adoptions were registered, and the breakdown did include 329 which were national, as well as the difference with the 35 that were inter-country adoptions that had been registered. We also had a target to finalize the drafting of the child protection policy, and the drafting of the child care and protection policy has been finalized. So it's just a draft child care and protection policy that has been finalized. Moving also still on the children services offered as well as vulnerable children, where they started to conduct 3 intersectoral capacity building workshops on the children's rights and responsibilities. And indeed, these were conducted in the following provinces: in the Free State, Northwest, as well as the Gauteng. These are then the intersectoral capacity building workshops. Also, we had a target to deposit country reports within the African Union, and as part of our compliance reporting on regional obligations, as well as the AU structures. And by end of the fourth quarter, this report was deposited to the African Union. Under social crime prevention, as well as victim empowerment, we had a target to submit the accreditation proposal for the Social Development Sector Academy, and operating policy guidelines for the Social Development Sector Academy were developed. An accreditation proposal has been submitted to the Health and Welfare Services CETA, and we are still awaiting their response regarding that. We also had a target by the on the fourth quarter to submit the bill for state law to the state law advisors, and this regarding the VP bill, and this was certified and found to be constitutional by the state law advisors. On social crime prevention, another target was to present the council building program for teenage parents to the relevant forum for input and approval, and the DDG forum in which the branch head sits with all the chief directors of the welfare services from all the provinces, and that forum did review and provided the approval for the strategy on the program for teenage parents and relevant and for the strategy on capacity building program for teenage parents. We also had a target to compile the report on national human trafficking awareness campaign, and a consolidated report on the national human trafficking awareness campaign was compiled by end of the fourth quarter. But HIV AIDS, which is the last program under program 4, was for us to complete a research report on the community-based workers and a desktop research on the social analysis of community care workers was completed or conducted by end of the fourth quarter. Another target under HIV and AIDS program was to provide training to 80 community-based organizations in terms of them being able to utilize the community-based interventions monitoring system, which is the CPIM. And indeed, it was not only 80, but 82 CPOs were trained and in terms of how to utilize the CPIMs with the community-based intervention, integrated monitoring system. The last program is program 5, which is social policy as well as integrated service delivery. This includes community development. Slide 45, I'll skip the expenditure slide, which is slide number 46 as well as 47 and 48, and move straight to the detailed targets. Under starting with the MPO unit, our target was to process as a department 90% of all applications that you receive or to register as MPOs within 2 months. And indeed, as a department, we had received 6,774 applications, and we were able to process 6,744, which is 99.6% of all the applications that were received. And this was done within the target period, which is 2 months. We also had a target under fourth quarter, still under MPO, to conduct MPO national roadshow to 15 local municipalities, and indeed this was done. And we did not provide the breakdown of all local municipalities, but the 17 MPO national roadshows were done in 17 local municipalities. Another target was to train 700 MPOs on governance and compliance with regard to the MPO Act as expected. And in the period of review, we had overreached the target, as we did not only train 700, but it was 982 MPOs that were trained on issues of governance and compliance with the MPO Act. The last one under NPO was to process 95% of all NPO reports within 2 months, and in quarter four, the department has received 6,769 reports, and all and 97% of them, which is 6,478 of all those reports that you have submitted and received by the department, were processed within 2 months. On community mobilization and empowerment, we had a target to submit community development practice policy for approval, and indeed the HSDS, as I did indicate, Chair and Honourable Members, that HSDS is a forum which is chaired by our DG, and it sits all the heads of social development from all the provinces, including the CEOs of our entities, and it has then provided approval for this community development practice policy. We also had a target to compile capacity assessment report, and this was compiled by the end of the first quarter so that we are able to assess the community development capability. This is in relation to the non-returners. We also had a target to finalize and circulate the draft youth mobilization policy as a department, and the draft guidelines had been finalized and circulated for consultation. The final slide under program is with regards to the department being able to finalize the framework for us to be able to link cooperative to economic opportunities within the sector. And by end of the fourth quarter, Honorable Chairperson and members, the framework has been finalized with inputs from provinces that we have received. Guidelines for internationalization of cooperatives has also been finalized, and with input from our provincial counterparts. We also had a target to finalize the women empowerment framework for the social development sector, and by end of the fourth quarter, we had been able to merge the merge framework had been finalized with input from our provincial counterparts. Finally, Honorable Chairperson, we were to submit the draft strategy for the social development youth centers. We had to submit the draft social development youth strategy for approval, and the strategy was submitted to the National Youth Development Forum and the branch forum for approval and consultation. Honorable Chairman, I'll then give over to the CFO, who will then go back and provide the detailed expenditure for each program. And thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson and members, Honorable Chairperson. We're going back to slide number 6.
I know that your voice is a bit lower. Mm-hmm. If you could assist us by doing this, thank you.
Slide number 6, Chairperson. In terms of what my colleague has presented for the sorry, Chairperson, slide number 8. What my colleague has presented in terms of the performance, this is the expenditure that is associated with the performance. In terms of our expenditure, overall expenditure, we spent 147.2 billion, or 99.6% of our total budget. Next slide 9. In terms of the program expenditure, program 1 administration, we spent 349.7 million or 99.89%. Program 2 social assistance, we spent 138.9 billion or 99.58%. Program 3 social security policy and administration, 6.9 billion and we spent 100%. Program 4, Welfare Services Policy Development and Implementation Support, 713 million, 99.24%. Program 5, Social Policy and Integrated Service Delivery, 383 million, or 99.65%. Slide 10, Expenditure for Economic Classification. compensation to spend 454.1 million on 1996%. Goods and services 342.9 million on 99.94%. In terms of transfers, 146.5 billion on 99.6%. In terms of capital assets, 7.1 million or 68.83%. I'm not going to deal with slide number 11 because it will come back in terms of the reasons for the variances.
Mm-hmm.
So program 1, we will go to page slide 18. Program 1, we spend 99.9% of the budget, 349.76 million. Under the economic classification, it's mainly under compensation, 106,000. The budget of the year 385,000 in terms of the deviation, and mainly understanding capital assets and in compensation. I'm going to move to slide number 23, social assistance, 99.6% expenditure or 138.9 billion. And I think my colleagues mentioned those deviations in the presentation, and it's mainly around the older person's grant, disability and foster care. But we've seen an uptake in the child support grant and in the grant in aid, that's on slide 24. Moving to slide number 29, social security policy and administration. We spend 100% of the budget, 6.9 billion, and it's mainly the transfers related to SACA. But there was some underspend there in terms of goods and services, 218,000, and then 113,000 under the foreign exchange, foreign governments and international organizations. Moving to slide number 35, Welfare Services Policy Development and Administration, 99.3% expenditure or 713 million. And in terms of the deviation or underspend, there was a 5.4, and the major under the expenditure there relates to, if you look at slide number 37, it's the transfers to non-profit organizations, and that's part of the Apostolic Faith Mission and also the Council for Social Work Professions at 2.4 million. And then also major expenditure there is the underspending capital assets, almost 3 million. Moving to slide number 46, program 5, social policy integrated service delivery, 99.7% expenditure or 383 million. Mm-hmm. Areas of understanding on slide number 48, 200 in foreign governments and international organizations, and then non-profit organizations for 1 million. And Jefferson, that 1 million relates to Seoul City. We had negotiations with them, and there was the requirement that we need to increase the budget, and because we could not increase the budget to Seoul City, we then terminated the arrangement or agreement with Seoul City, and they understand 1 million in that program. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you so much for your presentation. Can we then allow members to ask questions. Thank you very much. On slide 15, you showed 100% of achievements of 6,000, but on slide 25, you see that the same as the Department of Training and Verifying. And then also the MOU with the LMFs and stuff were developed. We also need some more detail on this MOU. In program 5, the NPOs received 6,774 applications, and it was 100% process. Now my question here is the NME done on these NPOs that register and process? It's just a tick of, it sounds like a tick of, you know, we receive 100 and process 100. Do they liaise with the NPOs and give some guidance to find out why are you registering, or is it just a case of, yes, we want to achieve and we have achieved? So achievement doesn't mean that our people are benefiting out there. Then the war veterans grant, 162, while an increase of 176 is really a peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
I asked this question some time ago, why did they decrease? And the response from the department was that the war veterans died. Now, I want to know where have they discovered these extra war veterans?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Also thanking the department for the presentation. Chair, some meetings ago, I sort of sought clarity about the detail, the extent or the detail that the department can go to in giving this presentation, because I was worried about the fact that we get statistical reporting that does not say anything about the impact, things such as because we had 73 targets and we only achieved 46, these are the reasons why we did not achieve the rest, and this is the impact it has had on the actual system or the people that we are supposed to be providing services to. So today's presentation has sort of confirmed my concern as well, because what we have heard today is the achievement or non-achievement of the targets, and one comments the fact that almost all of them, we're talking 99% and things like that. But for example, I have a question that I need to ask, and one would have benefited from some kind of an indication of why some of these things are not achieved, because almost all of them have to do with providing the services to the social development sector. Now, I have a question regarding the social relief of distress program, for example. We got recently a situation where people have had to wait for 3 to 4 months to receive their social relief of distress. And the reason that was given was that because the food that they must receive comes from KZN or in another province, but they are in the Eastern Cape somewhere. And this has had an effect of a young lady who is so destitute that, you know, she's had to live without while she's waiting for the food that is supposed to be with her within 24 to 48 hours. Now, if you say to me, in the social, as an example, in the social relief of distress program, we have met 99% of the targets, and so this is supposed to be okay, but I don't know what challenges you are facing in doing this. I don't know what still needs to be done, because I don't know what the 2 out of 24 that you have not achieved relates to. So that is a question, or it will be a question for SASA later or the department now. And then the second thing is relating to the NPO's registration effectiveness. Here, the presentation says that 100% of the 412 registrations were processed or something like that. But it is, for me, the effectiveness of that processing that is an issue, because we keep getting complaints from people who are still waiting for their registrations to be processed, and they've been waiting for 3 to 4 months and all those things. So I'm just saying, what am I missing, Chair? In my reading of the report or in my listening to the presentation, for me to be able to answer questions when I'm being asked by the people on whose behalf I am doing the oversight. Thank you, Chair.
I think my colleagues have covered most of the questions I wanted to ask. I just wanted to revert back to slide number 25 under Program 2 Social Assistance, and particularly those targets, all the targets associated with Program 2 under Social Assistance, because with the exception of the fact that we have some extra war veterans, the majority of the targets, let me tell you what my concern was, and particularly the amount of children who benefited from the child support grant. We go out and look for these benefactors or beneficiaries through Mekonzo and IPOP. Okay. We're not meeting those targets. My concern is, what are we spending on Mekonzo and IPOP that is not helping you assist your targets? There's no point in us going to spend $170 million paying a contractor to do Mekonzo or IPOP from us if we don't reach our target. They need to go hand in hand. I have a query on that. Thank you, Chair. At this stage, I'll come back later.
Your recruitment and retention
policy, and that is part of your human, your HR strategy or policy. And many times we ask you, bring it to us that you can just see how that policy is. You speak about, there are other policies that I'm not going to mention, but I wrote down the different pages, like page 51. We are really talk about the decrease in the veterans, in the veterans, was done by Honorable Dave Abrams. But I would like you to speak about that 127.5% increase when it comes to foreign agreements and to international organizations. Because if you didn't speak to international with us, but yes, things coming up, you know, on page 57. Then household capital payments, you only gave us, gave out 33.53% of the money. So there, I think you owe us answers. Thank you.
Ma'am, what we are now there, and I acknowledge Honorable Mazulu absent.
No, Chair, my interest is on program 2. I don't know whether there was a question about program 2 or one. Please go ahead for another question. Chairperson, when the presenter presented to us the purpose of the program, of program 2, they say it's to provide income support to the vulnerable group. So which means it takes us to SASA, because SASA is the one that is administrating the payments and everything. But when the CFO goes through it, we see the understanding that is happening in terms of the program. You know, the understanding of 587 million checks. And here we talk about the vulnerable group. The foster care, that is ability and the old age. And the reason here they say lasting. So I don't understand lasting of court orders or lasting of, I don't know of what really, because lasting is another way. You can be invited, you can be saying that you say this is a declining, you know, when you talk the English, you change lasting to a declining or maybe show invited or expiring. So I just wanted to know what is happening. And why my interest is on this program. There was a study in one of the universities here in Western Cape talking about the issue of foster care. To say plus minus 500 students are not receiving the grant. So if now today we see the lapsing in terms of the department, what is happening, Chair? And one will ask again, can you please assist us if we drop how many new applicants came in? We are declining, there's any new applicants that are coming in terms of this program, because there's nothing that is leaving. So maybe, Chair, my question is to be around the
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. As the only male in the committee, I think that I do respect the committee, and I did communicate with the week and say I will be late. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got a few questions. Quickly went through the presentation. The first one will be just that the department must update us on the construction of the Aid Community Center on the for the fourth quarter. The question is that did you achieve that? If not, why? Then in terms of your, did you pick up a question?
No.
No, it's in relation to the construction of a community care center. I think the team is responding. If the Mr. Vitellezi doesn't pick up
yeah.
that, he will follow it. I'll ask them randomly. Then the other question will pertain to the Provincial Multidisciplinary Committee. Now, for my interest, I would like to know whether there were challenges or issues of consideration that you must bring to our attention as a committee in relation to monitoring that process, especially in relation to your social crime prevention. Right? Then on the anti-substance abuse, did the department achieve its target? And you targeted one substance abuse education. If not, why? And in this case, what will you do differently? And then on your final draft of social sector resource plan, abbreviated as SHRP, the question is it approved? SNZH in your 2016-17. If not, why? Then the last two will be on ECD. Did you manage or succeed to realign your ECD to the ECD policy as envisaged? The department meets its targets, and if not, is there a timeline to do that? And then the last one will be on your Disability Inequality Index. I'm just curious to check that. Did you update it as planned on the fourth quarter? Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Can I allow members to department to respond? But maybe there's one thing you can ask me with. Because for a long time last year, we were dealing with the discontent that relates to key performance indicators. As to you want to go to Kwamhlabuyalinga to do INICONZO as well as ICROP, whatever. But what were the indicators? So that we are in a position, you will agree on what you are going to do as presented in the APT. And once we have done that, we have a program that, and you actually attach funds which we are approved. But my problem is, when you do these matters, there is no actual documented report that comes, even as an addendum to say, this is the report on Kwamhlabuyalinga. Yes, we had anticipated and we went there, but we did get a fact finding that indeed these are the indicators. So that we are able to say, Mavilagas, when they were had not gone there, this was the stage. Status quo. Now that they have been there, there is an improvement. It does appear that the department wants us to agree that you have met your target. Whether there was absolutely no change. The one who pushes a wall and it doesn't move is defeated by the one who pushes the ruler and it is moved. Because you can measure the movement of that particular ruler. But someone who said, I've been pushing this wall, it didn't move. Is that an achievement? No, but the work was done. I'm trying to make a very good example. Because these are difficult issues. These questions that are being asked by honorable members are informed by what they see. Mm-hmm. If you say there was construction going to be done, what if it has not been done at all? Yet there are cases where you find that a budget has been pumped in, no work has been done. It's a wall that never moved. So when you answer to us this particular issue of how do these programs
improve the people's lives. Because we can sit here only for that to happen. Not only how much money has been spent, where there has been no change. That big wall being pushed by all the energy, but it doesn't move. We'd rather go to a ruler, if it's moved, then something we can report home and write home that at least people's lives have been changed in that particular area. So can I allow you to? Because I think you want us to do technical when so much was budgeted, 80% was achieved. Then what impact does it have? Because our debate was that it's so bad to be women abused or whatever, children going hungry, and therefore this is our intervention. As a result, there is improvement. That's all we are called upon to do, as not as to how much we're given, how much we spend. That is the key issue. That's our
thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, for the question. We will respond accordingly. Maybe Honorable Chair, going forward, in terms of the impact, based on the last scenario that you have made, for example, the issue of our interventions around Mikonzo, we can provide, for example, we're still going to come back for the first quarter report of the current financial year, the performance report. We can provide the attachment annexures, like how the Honorable Chairperson is relating to, because a scenario for Mikonzo, for example, we do have the baseline just before our intervention, because it's not a one-off. We do dialogue, we understand the challenges in that particular community. We come up with the community-based plans, we do the intervention, and then the post. There are people who then remain post the Mikonzo to monitor the impact of the intervention. So we can provide the annexures regarding those issues, other than how we have been reporting, because we are reporting in terms of how we have presented our annual performance plan. And there are reporting guidelines that are given to us to say, this is how you report in terms of your APP, how do you account for the work that has been done. Honorable Chairperson will respond to the questions. I have the team were with me who will assist us as we respond. My apologies, I had to quickly go to the room next door, so I missed some of the questions, but colleagues have been around, they will be able to assist us. The first one I will ask, like Mr. Tony, on the disability inequality index, because it falls within his scope, that he responds on that one. The person who will follow it would be Ms. Mumal, who will cover all the questions around program 4, including issues around the foster care, as well as other substance abuse and so on. Maybe we can start with Mr. Tony. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. With regards to the inequality disability index, I could report say that we have advanced the instrument to the effect that we were able to, well, this is a technical instrument which necessarily would be much more appropriate to be driven by ZSA. So in that regard, we've been working with ZSA, and they have now agreed that they will take over the instrument and we will provide the support to them. We have met in terms of measuring how we are doing as South Africans group. It's a group of experts that work in this area and tested what the inequality index is all about. Further to that, we have done training in the provinces, in the 9 provinces, with regards to how the data will be captured so that when we receive the information, it's an appropriate information and information that will be readable by those that would be able to use it in order to advance the development of the development agenda in South Africa. So that those are the things that we've been able to do, and we're happy that we will be signing an MOU with the in terms of how they will take over the instrument. That's all for me.
Thank you. Ms. Nomalo.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'll start with the foster care issue. I think the best people to answer is the social security policy in terms of their analysis on why there's a decline, because I'll talk foster care generally. They need to indicate the numbers and how are they declining. What I know is that the 500,000 that the Honorable Member has indicated is the number of children who are on foster care that we are busy dealing with at different levels and at different ages. We have that number, and they are the ones that are receiving child support grants. As they grow out of the foster care in terms of their age, they are removed from the foster care grant. And also there are cases of corruption and maladministration by social workers and some social security personnel, more especially a case in hand in KZN, where a number of those cases of foster care were ghosts and then they were cut and terminated. It influenced also the numbers because there were no children existing, but it was more issues of corruption. So that's something the social security can also be able to give the exact numbers. In terms of Honorable Mabilo, I think he was basically talking about the report itself, because I think he wanted to know if the targets that they have set for ourselves for ECD, did we manage to achieve? Yes, we did, because for ECD, the reference was on the COA, whether we did manage to align it with the policy. We did that. The POA will be subsequently going to cabinet because it has to go through technical forums before reaching cabinet. Given an opportunity, we can come and present to the committee also. In terms of the social crime prevention, I think it was an issue of monitoring, whether there's enough mechanism for monitoring in terms of the targets that we expect. Yes, we monitor the targets that we expect, because we also have indicators and mechanism of officials visiting provinces. But when you look at the targets that are at national, it's more on your plans, your strategy, your support, your training that happens at the national level. I think the one question that is left is the community care center. I'm not sure if CFO you have the details. I can come back to it later after the other colleagues have responded to other questions. I'm looking at my presentation just to check exactly where the levels of the aid in each province, because we're implementing in KZN, Northwest, and the BOP, so that I can report to the community. I'll come back to this one.
Just a follow-up through the chair. The question was in relation to the challenges. Mm-hmm. Is there any challenges or issues that you have picked up that you feel that as members of the portfolio committee must be alive to?
Maybe that question she is going to respond to you, but can I add to your question?
No question.
Uh, I'm not questioning, but I'm making this as a full statement that there's a huge problem on the issue of obstruction. A huge problem. And I don't know, because at some stage in this Molanyana magistrate office, you find that there are a small tribunal, something like that, that keeps to deal with backlog. But this backlog of children who have been getting this particular grant and are now left with nothing, it's a huge number.
Yeah.
And it is very serious, because magistrates are not necessarily taking this as a priority, because there's so much crime. It's the same magistrate that presides over this, and they are seen as less, if you're talking about criminal court, that goes there. Two, there is this problem. I don't think it belongs to you, but to DSD, of a person who has been alive receiving a grant for three or four children. Once that person has passed over, I can tell you in that my office, it's only that I don't want to tell it into an admin office. People are flocking, coming to report that since my daughter died, these five are getting nothing. But imagine if you were sick and then you die, and your children are, the department has got a difficulty or suffer to actually, they know that this person has been getting grants. Now this grant is not going anywhere because this person has died. But it's not immediate. There will be things that is a pitoli, if it all like a penhuli. But I think this can seem to be small or administrative, but the reality is our children are dying of hunger, and they are being ill-treated by the extended family, because now they are dependent and there is nothing. For example, here in Cape Town, one will have come from Eastern Cape, and when we fetch the cops from Cape Town mortuary, there is no indication as to how this children living, what happened to the father. Was there a father? But when they arrive in the Eastern Cape, a question will arise: bring the father, bring the birth certificate, bring everything. But the person is not even a parent, he's just helping, and then children get exploited. And I think Equal Fellow Committee must get a way of yourself saying you will be able to sort this issue of lapsing of a grant for foster, and then the issue also of disability. They are known that they are disabled permanently, but they must go to a doctor at some stage. The doctor doesn't approve. For example, one was saying, because the child has got psychological problems, mental problems, he must go and pay something like 2,000 to a psychologist for them to, for the doctors can't deal, because they are not mental, neuro doctors or whatever, and therefore they can't deal with this particular problem. And in a rural area where there's no psychologist, you must go and get a psychologist. But I haven't had the department paying for those.
Mm-hmm.
And we are saying this matters of inability. If your disability is permanent, going to the doctor is going to do what? Because it's not my arm has been amputated or my leg. So that is a permanent feature.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an issue that I think DSD is going to also work with SASA, but I think they are professionals. We are better off in KZN, because we actually were informed with the appreciation that they have got 100% ward coverage of social workers. They told us formally at the legislature, 100% coverage of one social worker, one ward, let alone on the busyness of the ward, but this is what they told us. But maybe it's lesser problem. But in areas where you will never see a social worker, if a social worker is to go and investigate, she will say she doesn't have a car. The person will go to the offices, then they will say, I can't come to your home, I don't have transport. This is a real life-threatening situation in this department. So this issue of lapsing of this, it does, on a daily basis, especially with small magistrate offices. These women are always doing their on a daily basis, let alone those who are from maintenance. It's a forgotten chapter of life. They never get anything because their poor husbands are in concord with magistrates. Those who are not a forgotten chapter, they get nothing in terms of maintenance. Not unless the government can try another means. Otherwise, this show me and the man, the Sharapa, is never getting to Abu Bandu by every maintenance. That's the state of our women in our own country, as I speak here. So please, Connie, assist us with this particular issue. What is happening there? Because this money, how is it going? And in fact,
thank you very much, Honorable Chair. One can propose that we can come and share with the committee our challenges and strategies around foster care, because it's quite wide. Because other challenges would be SASA related, but we find that the majority are within social development in areas where there are no social workers to actually do investigations, because we find that even the backlog is in different stages. Some are backlog queuing to those small courts for the children to appear before the commissioner before they are allocated or officially placed to foster parents. So it's quite right. There's a lot of work that is being done by Ms. Nomalo's branch around this matter with the provinces. So we can come and do a presentation so that we are at the same level, including the issues where there are fraudulent activities that are being investigated currently. That would be my plea, so that we can thoroughly share with the committee what is actually happening around the foster care. And then secondly, the other issue that was raised by the honourable member around the non-profit organisation, I'll request Mr. Nechipale to cover that one. Honourable members will recall that in terms of the NPO Act, though NPOs that are registered are not only those that do social development support. Any other person who wants to register, even if it's a church, in terms of the NPO Act, they get registered. So then you do not register them just because you're going to fund them as the Department of Social Development. But the expert on this one is Mr. Nechipale. Mr. Nechipale?
Chairperson and honorable members, there were two questions on the issue of non-profit organizations. The first one was whether we go and check what they're deciding for. The act doesn't warrant that. Remember, this NPO Act promulgation in 1996 and approved in 1997 was the repeal of the Fundraising Act, which prohibits voluntary association by certain racial groups. In that act, they used to come and check whether you warrant to be given an NPO. So when this act was promulgated was to promote the spirit, the voluntary association, by making sure that people that want to associate and an organization can get registered. We have got prescribed forms that you fill, and we then register you if you meet the minimum requirements that are set in the NPO Act. Second part of it is the issue of effectiveness of the processes. What we are reporting on is the processing which leads to registration. It doesn't mean that there will not be any problems that is going to be had. But I think 99.6% of those that comes, we have changed and we have improved a lot. We register NPO within a week. There's online registration, there's manual. But what becomes a problem in most instances is the NPOs themselves to get the certificate back, because it must be posted. Sometimes it takes long, the post. Sometimes the NPO might leave something which is not right there. We respond back, they don't respond in time. And that is in all those NPOs that will complain, you will find that it's because we have said on page 7, you didn't tell us the objectives clearly, or the objectives are clear, can you change the objectives? So they don't come back quickly sometimes, then it delays the process. But I think as we stand now, we have improved a lot on those NPOs. The other questions on Mekong, I think the acting DG has alluded to that, that a response can be provided as an addendum if you want us to report on. Thank you.
I don't know whether the department indeed, when implementing this particular act, was able to state that being registered with the Department of Social Development does not make it obligatory for the department to particularly fund. Because in my understanding, everyone will tell us we bought a license, we bought a registration certificate, here it is. So it creates an impression, once registered, you are in the queue. Because the department is satisfied that you is even actually registered you and gave you a certificate, which means it's a humble will for them.
On the lighter note, the GCC says there's a late arrival of certification to the people by so you must be careful of the thing. Yes, the post office certification, post office SASA. From what is
that? On that one, you don't have my support. I'm through the post office.
All that is said was out of record. Can we continue with answers? Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll request the CFO to respond on the community care centers that are under construction, because he does also monitor the infrastructure. Thank you.
Just a clarification on the report of programs which spend millions.
Mm-hmm.
When you are going to engage on a program, you seek to have a concept document,
mm-hmm,
and a full document, which is like this, which does not necessarily mean you can even give it to these teaching halls I used to receive when I was a member from other departments, something in your teaching hall, to give information about a particular program. For example, deterrent, another area. There was a young girl in deterrent, which was 12 years impregnated by a 40-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
The minister pronounced that this person is going to be arrested before we leave. I've often gone back
nothing happened. Absolutely. That man is rent free, nothing happened. And when I tried to inquire, I was told that the family didn't approve. The family didn't want to the girl to testify. My plea is that if you spend government funds, you owe anyone in South Africa a document on Kwamhlabuyalinga, on Bulwa, on Muzahil, on where you recently came from. Now you want to go to Nkandol, Lotham. Then before you go, there should be a concept document that is going to be have a business plan. And then when you are being given funds, they are in line with your business plan. You can't just decide on the ground that I'm going to have Imbizo, that is going to have such a tent, and so on, and so on. You must produce a business plan, even if we didn't call for it, but you have an obligation to put it wherever South Africans can have access, that when they talk of an ICROP, it's something like this. I don't want to turn into being an administrator, which I was at some stage. Because these things are very clear. It can't be all the time we are going to request. If the members have requested, where is your obligation of accounting fully this document, including attendance and registers and everything, and to say this is that we can prove we've been having a footprint there. This is a document. So the addendum is something like you can, not necessarily for annual report, accounting to the nation and to other MPs. I don't understand why the department that deals with monitoring and evaluation, how bad things are they doing in this department? Because each department has to be made to account internally by monitoring and evaluation. I was surprised. At some stage, I found that those people are doing business plans, don't have any know-how. When I said, give me one of your business plans for what, they said, no, we don't make them. How do you, because they're a department of business plans. They said, no, once there's an application, we outsource it. So they are therefore ensuring that business plan applications, then it is taken outsourced, and then they can take it there and give it to that person, including that is a person in the training team doesn't know how to train. When they receive a need for training, they will then find a way of procuring and outsourcing it. I wish our department is not one of those, but I know many of those employ people who are not technically trained to develop these documents, rather outsource them. I hope you are not. We can continue though with the funds.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of business plan development, that's our area of expertise, Chairperson. I can assure you that one we don't outsource as the Department of Social Development. Constantly, Mr. Nijipal and Mr. Doni, they can say. Chairperson, honourable members, Mr. Appel is going to cover the finance issues, including the community care centres. Ms. Mumalo can add in case he leaves other issues out. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just with regards to the community care centres, we constructed and located in plan 3. Plan 3 is completed. There's another one is going to be completed in December. In the northwest, we've completed 4. 2 to be finalized by December. In Limpopo, we had to cancel the contract of one contractor. That then caused a delay of 3 of the centers. One will be completed in March, and 2 we expect them to be completed by November in this year. Thank you, Chairperson. That's with regards to community care centers.
Okay.
discuss here before, but if you plan a community care center, do you liaise with other people that can tell you that there's infrastructure there? Those went to KZN and we found many structures that they were being used, put to a good purpose. Those called the reformer that was used to the reformatory center turned into a huge community center or youth development center. You know, Sebe. So I'm saying, Mama, when there is an infrastructure that was used for that bad name, that's why I can't even pronounce it properly, a reformatory. And then that infrastructure remains. And then social development kicks it, that there is this infrastructure, and put it into good use, which we saw then.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you go to this former homeland, that was the very agenda of homeland leaders, a training center and so on. So because we are a new government, we never bothered to check whether this infrastructure still exists. Instead, because we budget, we want ours. I'm trying to find out if an area, in terms of your key performance area, qualifies for a community care center. And do you actually make assessment as to, is there no infrastructure that is not in use so that you cannot go on building all the time? Instead, transform the immobilized existing infrastructure and then we put it into good use. This was very clear in KZN when these reformatory centers were put into activity. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to respond on this one that the Honorable Chairperson has asked. Yes, this is a donor-funded project, and feasibility study was done in all the three provinces. And where possible, because land was also an issue, they identified existing structures that were not properly used to be renovated through the donor funding so that they are converted to community.
I hope it will be done so that other provinces will roll out.
Department of Social Development together with SAFA National Treasury sets on an annual basis,
and the projections are based on historical information, current trends, stats, SA information, for instance, mortality rates. All those are being taken and then annual projections are being made. Internationally, a 5% deviate from that is actually acceptable. If you look at the percentages, all the deviations that we've got is currently less than 1%. With reference to war veterans, if you look at last year's target, there was 245 targeted for war veterans. This year it was 162. Why was it lesser? It was lesser because it was based on the historical trends and the ancient mortality when we expected people to depart and to move on. But fortunately, that didn't occur. And that's why you will see, for instance, that the number is 176. So we didn't get more applications. There was just not sufficient people based on the projections that actually passed on. With reference to, with reference to SOD, I would also sometimes to perhaps respond to that, especially with reference to the 5 month waiting period, because the policy intention with SOD specifically focused on immediate relief. With reference to the child support grant, and the numbers that's lower there, I think that's one of the grants that we see almost on a monthly basis fluctuate. And the reason being is that, for instance, children turn 18 and then they're off that grant. It is the case that what you indicated is perhaps where the caregiver that actually the grant recipient dies, and then that person will actually, those children will not, then they don't claim, which means that actually that grant will then be stopped. And I think that's where, from a policy perspective, we should perhaps look at the interim phase on how we can address that in our regulations to allow SAFA to actually then still activate and assist those people in transition phase. And I will take back that to Mr. Brenton from Frieda. But I think at this stage, the interim relief is there in the form of SRD, where a caregiver dies, at least then they can have it at least a 3 to 6 months immediate response from or support from SRD. On foster care, I think the challenge that we will also have there is the lapsing is mostly because of children sharing either 18 or 21. So if you look at the targeted number, it was 440,000. Currently, there's over 120,000 children. They are actually with expired grants but still within and receiving a foster care grant because there was a high court order in Gauteng which actually allows SAFA to continue with the payment despite the expiry. And DSD and SAFA are working together to see how they can address that problem. If you take into account 120,000 children is currently on the system with expired grants, then you'll see a percentage of that 440 is new grant applications. Perhaps SAFA can give us the numbers, but some of those are also children that are there with grants that haven't expired. I think also what's important to note that all the grants are application driven. So if a person doesn't apply, they will not necessarily get the grant. And then with reference to the lapsing, I think the lapsing is a challenge. We see that in a lot of instances, specifically on disability, the whole self-assessment form makes provision that you can indicate, the medical documents indicate whether that disability is a permanent disability with no review necessary, which means that amputated arm that actually has a functional impact to such an extent that the person will not be able to drive to actually participate, or the doctor will indicate it's renewable or reviewable. That will be, for instance, because remember that a grant is only a temporary disability grant only for 5 months. So the moment that this person did, one instance where a person was a driver, a bus driver, or truck driver, and he was 68 years old, and he turned blind in the one eye. Now, that didn't mean that he was disabled, but because of the work that he was doing, he lost his job because he couldn't have his private driver's permit again. In that case, the doctor will say this is reviewable because with skills assessment, perhaps the person could enter the labour market again. So I think that's why, for instance, you will see disability slapped in certain instances. But I know that with the new health assessment tool, they will rework the whole process of that and they will focus more on functional impairment. Perhaps SASA can assist with the FOD5 challenge in taking
it in. Thank you very much. The reason, explanation why our people get worse and worse. Because there is a technical arrangement which further oppresses them. I think the portfolio committee must be in a position to seek amendment in some matters, because the department is implementing. But the more you explain it to me, that if you haven't applied, so the social worker in the ward doesn't need you and can see that you are in need and advise you to. So our people are subjected to extreme suffering. Honorable so lady,
because my friend. I could hear the explanation and it's good that of promoting the officials of the department. It's the same that we in terms of the department. We talk about the application driven. What shares that means? What about somebody who's sitting there in personal report that needs no time? We talk about the communication that it has not attained. What are you saying to it? So we can't say things as much in terms of department. You are not doing well with construction grants. And I would love what the 18 people said. Come to us, come and present what you're saying in terms of construction grants. I'm not convinced, Chair. I'm not going to take it to say what the department has said to us in terms of the declining of construction grants is what you're giving us. It's a red tape that people are finding inside the department. Maybe we need to call the Department of Justice because they talk about court. Where two departments must come here and explain to us. But whatever that is said, it's nice for the department. I know the officials are waiting, the applicants. But let's talk about a venerable person who's sitting down there who doesn't even know nothing. And some of them, they can't even get letters to say that the grants are about to expire. They don't know nothing. Why do you know that? Every money coming. We come about with the best rate in South Africa. South Africa best rate is very high. So are you telling us in terms of what the department is giving us is designing the best rate? Because there are no applicants that are coming in terms of infrastructure grants. We know there are challenges. Kids are losing their mother's place. You know, so we can't take that. Let's the future department must come here, check it in and ask us on this issue. This is my choice. Kids are suffering outside, and we cannot be good because the foster care grant. Maybe SASA will explain better to us on the issues of corruption. And I come with a human development index in terms of this issue of foster care grant.
I think the portfolio committee must agree that we need a task team, a number of members. That will be supported by the research in order to present to the portfolio committee to the joint sitting of the portfolio committee on justice and us, because the matter of suffering out there, it seems as if there are no representatives that can express the views and the felt problems and challenges by our own people. We need to have a government or two or four people that will sit and develop this paper. But on Honorable Marshall, the department has responded to our recruitment issue and the vacant post and they have submitted this. I think you were asking the question that they didn't make say anything about the building of posts and so on, as well as staff that they have taken it from the last meeting. That is when they come, they give us this. If we have time, we will give it to you to read it, so that when we come next meeting, we're able to make comments on what is available here. But can I allow that we go to the next item, which is SASA, though partly we have dealt with a number of matters with SASSA, and I would be tempted to allow a 5-minute break so that people can resume with SASSA when we come in. Thank you very much.